Today we're building a jungle pad drift that feels glued to the groove, not floating on top of it. The aim is simple. Take a pad that already has a bit of dusty character, shape it into a controlled motion layer, and make it support an old-school roller without smearing the kick, snare, or sub. Think of this pad as atmosphere with a job. It should make the track feel longer, deeper, and a little more haunted, but it should never become the main event. In old-school D&B and jungle, that's a big part of the vibe. The best pads don't shout. They breathe with a break, move with the phrase, and add pressure without softening the punch. So start with a pad source that already leans warm, cloudy, or slightly gritty. If you've got a choice, I'd usually pick the warmer one for this style, because it gives you more room to shape the tone and keep that classic tape horn feel. A super glossy modern pad can still work, but it usually needs more work to stop it sounding detached from the rest of the record. Keep the harmony simple. Long notes. Slow chord movement, maybe a 2-bar or 4-bar shape. You want the pad to feel like part of the arrangement, not a busy chord progression fighting the break. A really good starting move is to let the first chord hold for a couple of bars, then shift the voicing or extend a note on the next phrase so the sound gently evolves instead of looping like wallpaper. And this is important. Write the drift as a phrase, not as a static loop. Jungle and rollers live on phrase energy. If the pad changes on the same 2-bar or 4-bar cycle as the drums, it starts to lock into the track in a musical way. That's where it becomes glue. From there, shape the envelope so the pad breathes around the drums. A slightly slower attack helps it slip under the transient zone instead of stabbing through it. If the snare is getting blurred, shorten the attack a touch, or reduce sustain so the pad blooms after the backbeat lands. If it feels too disconnected from the groove, do the opposite and let the start of the note speak a bit more. What to listen for here is the snare. When the snare hits, does the pad politely get out of the way, or does it sit right on top and blur the punch? The pad should feel like atmosphere that knows where the drummer is. Next, bring an auto filter early and use it to sculpt the useful band. This is usually better than reaching for broad EQ first. In a jungle context, you almost always want the pad stripped of sub, and often softened at the top as well. A high pass somewhere in the 150 to 300 Hz zone is a solid starting point, depending on how full the arrangement is. If the source is too bright, ease the top down with a low pass around 6 to 10 kHz. Then automate the cutoff slowly across phrases. A gentle opening over 8 or 16 bars can create forward motion without sounding like a big effect sweep. That's one of the secrets here. The listener feels movement, but they don't necessarily notice the mechanism. It just feels like the record is waking up. Why this works in D&B is because you get motion without adding more notes or clutter. The pad appears to drift forward as the arrangement develops, but the low end stays protected for the kick, sub, and bass definition. That's the real win. After filtering, add a bit of saturation. Nothing heavy, just enough to thicken the harmonics and make the pad feel slightly worn, a little more like it belongs to the same tape age as the drums. In Ableton, saturator is perfect for this. Start with a small amount of drive, maybe 1 to 4 dB, and level match carefully, so you're not fooled by loudness. Loud is not the same as better. If the pad is too clean, saturation helps it sit in the record instead of hovering above it. If it gets too aggressive, it will start taking over the mid-range and competing with the break. You want glue, not a lead sound. Now bring in movement, but keep it slow enough to feel timeless. Fast modulation can be cool, but for this kind of roller pressure, the best move is usually a broad, patient drift. Automate the filter cutoff over 4 or 8 bar spans. Maybe add a little extra reverb send at the end of a phrase, then pull it back on the next one. Maybe move the tone just a touch every 8 bars. Small changes are enough. What to listen for is whether the movement feels like the room is changing, or whether the pad is announcing itself as a separate event. If you hear the pad before you feel the groove, the modulation is too obvious. Back it off and let the drum pattern stay in charge. A really effective approach is to treat the pad like a breathing layer. Slowly open the filter, slightly increase the space, then ease it back. That gives you momentum without turning the sound into a giant riser. If the drums are already busy, choose slow, broad drift. If the arrangement is sparse and you want a more psychedelic jungle feel, you can let the pad wobble a little more, but keep it tasteful. Then add delay or reverb, but use them like part of the rhythm, not like decoration. A short, dark delay can make the pad feel like it's trailing the beat. A restrained reverb can place it in the same room as the break. Keep the delay feedback low to moderate, and keep the reverb short enough that it doesn't wash over the snare. This is another place where context matters. Soloed, a pad can sound gorgeous with a long tail. In the track, That same tail can flatten the snare and spear the pocket, so listen carefully. Do the repeats create momentum between the drum hits, or do they step on the next snare? If they crowd the groove, shorten the tail or reduce the send. Easy fix, big payoff. Now check the pad against the drums and bass together. Not solo. This is where good ideas become real arrangement tools or fall apart. The pad should sit above the bass fundamental, leave the snare body and crack clear and still feel emotionally present when the groove is active. If the mix starts to cloud up, look first around 200 to 500 Hz. That low mid zone is where pads often get boxy and where jungle atmospheres can turn into fog. Use EQA to make a gentle cut there if needed, but don't just scoop randomly. Clear the specific area that's masking the pocket, and if the snare is losing definition, stop and fix that before doing anything else. What to listen for now is simple. When the full drums and bass come in, does the pad make the groove feel deeper and more hypnotic, or does it make everything softer and smaller? That difference tells you whether the layer is working. After that, lock the stereo image down. Wide pads can sound huge in headphones, but in a club they can get hollow or unstable if you're not careful. Use utility to manage the width and keep the important body of the pad solid. The low end should already be filtered out, but even the mid-range can cause trouble if the stereo effect is doing too much. Always check mono. If the pad collapses badly, the issue is usually not just width in general, but too much stereo information in the core tone. Narrow it a bit. Simplify the stereo motion, and make sure the center still reads clearly. In DNB, that matters a lot, because the kick and sub need certainty. A nice pro move here is to version the pad early. Save one clean version, one darker version, and one slightly more degraded version. That way, when you get into arrangement, you can choose the version that fits the section instead of endlessly reworking one sound. For an intro, the cleaner filtered version might be perfect. For the drop, the darker one might sit better. For the second drop, a rougher or narrower version can add fresh energy without changing the whole idea. Use the pad to shape the arrangement, not just fill space. Start with a filtered drift in the intro, open it up as the drums establish, then reduce it before a switch up so the return hits harder. That contrast is powerful. In jungle, a good disappearance can be just as effective as a big entrance. Pull the pad away for a bar or two, then bring it back with a slightly different filter position or a different voicing. Suddenly the section feels bigger, even though the sound is basically the same. If the pad is strong enough, commit it to auto. This is one of the best workflow moves in Ableton Live 12. Once the tone feels right, bounce or resample the pad and work with the printed audio. That makes it much easier to trim tails around snares, cut tiny gaps before fills, reverse little fragments, and make the phrase shape feel intentional. Audio gives you control, and in a jungle arrangement, that control is gold. A useful reminder here, the best pads in this style often feel slightly underdeveloped in a good way. If it sounds finished in solo, it may be too polished once the break and bass come in. Don't chase perfection. Chase function. Chase groove. Chase mood. A few things to avoid: too much low mid energy, too much glossy top end, too much automation, and too much stereo smear. If the pad starts masking the snare, flattening the roller, or losing mono compatibility, simplify it. Usually the fix is less movement, less width, less tail, and a cleaner band pass tone. If you want a darker, heavier angle, keep the pad more like a shadow than a spotlight. Use a slightly degraded source, keep the highs restrained, and let light saturation create density instead of adding more low end. The sub should stay clean. The pad can feel weighty without actually living down there. Here's a quick way to judge if you're on the right track. Mute the pad for 4 bars. If the groove suddenly feels flatter and less hypnotic, but the drums and bass stay clean, then the pad is doing its job. If the mix gets clearer and the snare hits harder without losing energy, the pad was probably too crowded. That test tells you everything. So to recap, build the pad from a dusty source, keep the notes long and phrase-based, shape the attack and release so it breathes with the break, filter out the lows and soften the top, add a touch of saturation for tape-like glue, automate slowly, control the tails, check mono, and always judge it in context with drums and bass. The goal is not a lush ambient wash. The goal is a drifting jungle layer that adds momentum, tension, and timeless pressure without stealing the punch. Now take the 16-bar practice challenge. Use stock Ableton, devices only. Keep everything below 300 Hz filtered out. Make exactly 2 automation moves across the phrase, and create 1 variation for the second 8 bars. Then listen to the loop with drums and bass together. If the track feels more alive when the pad is in, you've nailed the brief. If it turns foggy, go leaner, narrower, and darker. Build it clean, trust the groove, and let the pad do its job.